Hi, and welcome to the fifth episode of the TFG1 podcast, recorded February 6th, 2009. I am your host, Michael Blanchard. Today I'll be starting Season 2 of the Generation 1 Transformers cartoon. First, we actually have a listener question. I have recently been, I guess you could call it promoted on PredaconEmpire.com. I have my own forum thread and multiple threads can go. I have my own sub-forum over there at PredaconEmpire.com. Steve/Megatron, who is my benevolent host. And Buddy has created a place for me to talk anything and everything about the podcast. And Steve actually asked me a question in my listener questions and comments thread. The question is, what is your key character to the show that you feel it could not do without? Now, I replied to Steve on the forums asking him if he meant by season or if he meant the entirety of the Generation 1 cartoon. I will answer it both ways. The overall character for the entirety of the series, I really can't pick one. I can pick multiples that I think that the series would just not be as good as it was. Optimus Prime and Megatron would be the first picks. Soundwave and Blaster, even though they did not really have too much of a battle between the two of them in the G1 US release series, but I always did like Soundwave and Blaster because they were tape decks and they had cool cassettes that transformed and everything else. And then my final picks would be Rodimus Prime and Galvatron, because, you know, after the movie they were the two leaders of the Autobots and Decepticons, and I liked Hot Rod. I liked both incarnations of the Hot Rod character. The Hot Rod, who is kind of like the kid and not really, you know, wanting to have any responsibility, and then Rodimus Prime, who is the leader and has the Matrix and everything else. I know some people may not like Rodimus and may only want, you know, Optimus as the Autobot leader, or some people may not like Galvatron and only want Megatron as the Decepticon leader, but I did like them for the characters that they were. So, if anyone has any questions for me, as I always say, you can email me at tfg1podcast@gmail.com. Or you can go onto the forums at PredaconEmpire.com. That's www.PredaconEmpire. Oh, wait, shit. That's www.PredaconEmpire.com. And just click on the forums on the left-hand side. There's a link that says forums. Click it and join the forums, please. Whoops. Sorry, Mike, if you're listening, I stole your speech about forums. Anyway, Mike Sims from Earth2.net. I've listened to Mike say that forum speech about, go to the website and there's a link at the left hand side of the page, says forums, click it and join the forums, please. I've heard him say that for like over 300 podcasts now. Anyway, so also if you'd like to follow me on Twitter, you can do that. My Twitter name is TFG1Podcast. So let's get into some episodes today, starting off season 2. We have...
But if you really want a hassle...
Wait! There is no need for further conflict.
Megatron!
I must say you've improved your appearance since our last encounter, Spike.
Easy for you to say, Megacrom. Way I see it, I've become a monster. Like you!
Monster? I am no monster. We Decepticons are but sentient machines who've discovered our destiny in this vast universe. Will you join us, Decepticons, and be second only to me? Together we will punish those who did this to you. I don't know. It's getting harder and harder to think. Then let Megatron think for you, Autobot Spike.
Okay, hold on. Back up the bus. Back it up. Just back it up. I forgot to answer the rest of the question. As far as my season choices for characters, season 1 would have to be Optimus and Megatron. Season 2, my favorite characters for the Autobots were Blaster. For the Decepticons were Soundwave and Astrotrain. Astrotrain's always been my favorite Decepticon. Triple Changers rule. That hopefully answers Steve's question. Now to begin the episodes. We start off today with Autobot Spike. To synopsize this episode, we start the second season at Autobot headquarters, where a daring new experiment is taking place. Sparkplug has built his own Autobot, called Autobot X, but the robot goes berserk because it has no brains. Teletran 1 alerts the Autobots to Decepticon activity at an Air Force base. They get there to stop the Decepticons, but inadvertently, during the battle, the energy source is destroyed and the Decepticons retreat. While flying away, Megatron transforms and has Soundwave blast Bumblebee, injuring the Autobot and Spike as well. Spike needs immediate medical attention if he is to live. Sparkplug and Wheeljack hatch a plan to transfer Spike's brain into Autobot X, giving the doctors enough time to repair his body. As the transfer commences, Spike's brain awakens inside the giant robot, and he is angry that they have done this to him. He starts destroying the medical facilities and equipment around him. After the outburst, Optimus Prime says that he and some of the other Autobots are needed back at the rocket base to repair the damage caused by their battle with the Decepticons. Prime tells Spike that every comfort will be provided for him, and as the scene closes, we see Laserbeak spying on the Autobots. At the Decepticon headquarters, Megatron hatches a plan to turn Autobot Spike against the other Autobots. At Autobot headquarters, Bumblebee is still being repaired, but is being impatient as well. Wheeljack asks Spike if he's enjoying the movie that he had had Teletran 1 tune into. Spike tells him yeah, but we see that Spike wants to do bad things, and he can't control himself. The movie that Teletran had tuned into was Frankenstein, which this is basically a Frankenstein episode. Watching the Frankenstein movie reminds Spike of what he has become, and he goes off again, and even though the other Autobots attempt to help him, Spike escapes and goes somewhere to think. Bumblebee chases after him, but Ratchet still hasn't fixed Bumblebee's radio transmitter. Bumblebee finds Spike, but in his uneasy state, he attacks Bumblebee as the Decepticons arrive, and a battle between Autobot Spike and the Decepticons begins. Megatron says there is no need for further conflict. However, Spike is having inner conflict, and the Decepticons trick him into joining them to destroy the Autobots. At the Air Force base, the rockets get launched, and then Bumblebee arrives and tells Optimus that Megatron is lying to Spike, and he believes the Decepticon leader. Prime and the Autobots try reasoning with Spike, but it isn't working. A battle erupts with Spike firing Megatron in his gun mode at the other Autobots. Then, the rest of the Decepticons join in the party. Wheeljack and Sparkplug arrive to tell Spike that his real body is ready and he can return to normal. Autobot Spike finally realizes what he's doing to the Autobots is wrong, and he uses Megatron to blast the Decepticons. The Decepticons then retreat. Sparkplug tells Spike that he saved his life. What had happened was Soundwave or one of the Decepticons had fired on Sparkplug, and Autobot Spike jumped in the way. At Autobot headquarters, Spike's mind gets transferred back into his own body, and Bumblebee remarks what it would be like if a robot's mind ever got transferred into a human. Now for my thoughts on this episode. I absolutely cannot stand this episode.
This episode is like the BTAS episode, Batman the Animated Series episode, The Terrible Trio. It's just bad. This has to be the stupidest idea Wheeljack has ever had. Even though it saves Spike's life, I just cannot watch this episode. It sucks. However, at the end, it brings up a point that we will see in seasons to come of the cartoon. When Bumblebee remarks that it would be like, what would it be like to have a robot's braid in a human's body? I can't remember which episode it is, but I will bring this episode back up when I find that one and watch it. I know it's Rodimus, Springer, Magnus, and RC that get their brains transferred into human bodies, because the clothing that they find to wear all matches their robot colors. There really isn't too much more else to say about this episode. The episodes of the cartoon that have no overall arcing storyline, I'm probably not going to have too much to say about them. They're just basically filler episodes, and sometimes we'll bring up the issue that happened in the last episode, but not often.
Now that makes it a whole new ballgame.
Megatron is mine. Autobots, go get 'em!
Megatron Spider Stations! Do you hear me?
This time I shall show you no mercy!
Right. This time the only thing you're gonna show me is... your papoose!
Your troops have deserted you, Megatron! Turn off the solar needle!
Never! I will destroy the universe first!
Don't let him get away!
There's no time. The sun will explode in less than a minute. Ratchet, Wheeljack, on the double. Restore the sun's equilibrium. You've got to bypass the solar needle's memory.
Right. All we need to do is disconnect that wire.
You mean that wire?
You got a blowout in your binary circuit. It's that one. Whoa.
Keep your fingers crossed. The sun has been stabilized. All that's left is to destroy Megatron's solar needle forever.
Excuse me, please. I don't want to be pushy, but aren't you forgetting something?
Your special circuit card gears. Here you are.
Just a minute. We took a vote and, we decided we like gears the way he is now.
Yeah, a real photovoltaic pussycat.
I see. Well, as long as you all agree.
Hey, if you guys don't give me my circuit back, I'm gonna start kicking Transistor.
All right, Gears, don't get your capacitors in an uproar. There.
So, when do we roll out of here? This jungle humidity is giving me a cramp in my chronometer.
Hey, now that's our Gears.
And my pulleys are squeaking again.
All right, let's blast that solar needle and roll out.
I suppose you want me to do that.
Be my guest.
Next up is Changing Gears to synopsize this episode. We begin with a group of humans that have found gold in them thar hills. Soundwave and some of the Decepticons attack them. He releases a laser beak and Ravage to prevent the humans from escaping. At Autobot headquarters, Optimus Prime has the Autobots assembled to stop the... what the hell?
Optimus Prime has the Autobots assemble to stop the Decepticons from attacking a mining camp, but Megatron has a plan that they don't yet know about. As you can tell from the episode title, that this one is all about the little Autobot Gears. At the mining site, Starscream asks Megatron if he can dispose of the humans, and the leader tells him that they are of no use to him now. The Autobots arrive, and the battle starts. During the battle, Megatron kidnaps Gears. In a remote jungle, Megatron has created a solar needle. The reason the Decepticons kidnapped Gears was because he has a circuit that will power the solar needle and allow Megatron to harness the power of the sun. Optimus Prime states that with Megatron tapping into the sun, it has caused a great instability in the star. The Autobots have tracked the Decepticon location to the middle of Africa. The Autobots are on their way to stop the Decepticons, and Starscream asks Megatron why the Earth is becoming so unstable, to which the leader replies, all that matters is that the Autobots are coming. Jazz and Sunstreaker get on top of Optimus Prime on either side to laser the Autobots a road through the thick jungle brush. Bumblebee almost falls into a crevice, but Wheeljack transforms and saves him. When they get to their destination, the Autobots attempt to fire upon the Decepticons, but an energy reflector shield protects the evildoers. And the solar needle. Oh, I guess that's what I get for drinking soda before I start recording. The Autobots need to get rid of the protective force field around the solar needle. However, the only way to do this is for someone to find the spot right where the sun's energy comes into the device. Prime and Ironhide argue over the two of them to do it when Cliffjumper transforms and speeds off. Shattering the force field, the Decepticons prepare for battle. During the battle, it comes to a standoff between the two factions. When Optimus Prime asks Gears for a favor, the little Autobot blasts the solar needle, betraying Megatron and returning to the Autobot's side. After the Decepticons retreat, Prime says all that's left to do is destroy the solar needle, but Gears needs his personality chip back first. The Autobots stop Prime, saying that they like the nice Gears. Gears then threatens them if he doesn't get his personality chip back, he's gonna start busting transistors. Prime gives it to him, and he returns to the same old grumpy Autobot Gears. Gears blows up the solar needle and then starts complaining again. Prime and the other Autobots transform and drive off without waiting for him. This brings this episode to a close. Now for my thoughts. Four times in this episode, I have seen the Decepticon logo on Megatron's chest be gray, not the purple it's supposed to be. This episode was a singular character episode focusing on Gears, and it was kind of cool. Although, As I've stated before, I like overall arcing storylines that put the Autobots in grave danger and show the truly evil and out-of-this-world control the Decepticons want.
I may not have a weapon, but I can still transform and roll.
Here they come! Otto Autobots!
Let them have it!
Things are looking bad, but they're starting to sound good. Hear that?
Write them down, Prime!
Even with one arm, Prime is primo!
That's the way to cool it, Ironhide. Now it's time to lend myself a hand and an arm as well. Well, you're not going alone, Prime. Let's do it!
Where are Prime and the other guys?
There, look! Going after Optimus's arm.
They might need help. Come on.
The Autobots are out of cannon range.
But not out of my range. Come in, Starscream, Thundercracker, Skywarp. I want an airstrike. Proceed immediately.
air attack.
They can't miss.
Neither can we.
Starscream, we're damaged. We gotta land.
Cowardly weaklings. I'll crush them like tinfoil.
Wanna bet? Say uncle, or I'll shove your nose in your afterburner.
Uncle!
Gee, I didn't know Decepticons had uncles.
The Autobots are getting closer, Megatron.
Scrapper, unleash the ultimate weapon!
Constructicons, transform! Phase one! Now unite!
Devastator says, surrender or perish. Devastator wants vengeance. Devastator wants Optimus Prime.
Now, Bumblebee.
Intruders, intruders.
They are doomed.
You'll never catch us, Megaklutz!
Megaklutz, you dare to insult me in my own command post?
The console is now inoperative. I can no longer maintain weapon control.
No matter! Send Bellsaw and Laserbeak to take care of the Earth pests! Devastator will destroy Prime, and I shall be master of all!
Devastator says your end is near!
I saw this once when I linked my data bank to an Earth television transmission. I think it was called King Kong. And Devastator reminds me of that big baboon.
Don't let it get to your wheel, Jack. Maybe Devastator saw the same picture.
Now, Devastator! Destroy him! Destroy!
Nice shooting, sport.
Prime! We wrecked Soundwave's control of your arm!
That's the news I've been waiting for.
It will take more than your puny arm to stop Devastator!
Right. Which is why it's lucky the hand at the end of that arm is holding a gun. Hold me up! Nice catch, Ironhide!
The Autobots may have destroyed our city of New Cybertron, but I have not been defeated. I shall return, do you hear me? I shall return!
Next up is City of Steel. To synopsize this episode, we begin with Laserbeak flying over New York City. He then flies underground to meet up with the Decepticons, who are excavating the sewers of New York. The Constructicons are doing demolition for Megatron, who has the idea to take over NYC. All of a sudden, the Empire State Building sinks below the surface. The Autobots learn of the falling building and head for New York City. New York. Oh, boy. Yeah, I don't want to get on a baseball tangent right now. I'll just say one thing. Red Sox rule and Yankees drool. However, Laserbeak spots Mirage, Hound, and the others on hydrofoils heading for the Autobots. Heading for the Autobots Central Park Rendezvous. The Birdbot reports this back to Megatron, and he tells Scrapper to dig Optimus Prime down to them. The Decepticons have Prime, and Megatron shorts out the leader's motor relays and puts him in suspended animation. After Optimus Prime sinks to the ground, Megatron flies out of the hole and tells the Autobots that if they ever want to see their leader again, that they will leave New York City. Bumblebee and Spike have a plan to get Optimus Prime back. They do not leave the city, but instead head for the sewers, where they encounter a reptilian robot, and they then trap it. And they then trap it and head forward into the Decepticon underground base. Megatron has ordered Hook to disassemble Optimus Prime and dispose of the parts anyway that the Constructicons want. Hound and the Autobots, after trapping the robot lizard, are almost to the Decepticon base, but Hound wonders why his sensors said Optimus Prime was behind them. They find Prime's head, and Hound realizes why his sensors were saying that the Autobot leader was behind them, because a piece of his body was. They put Prime back together, well, almost. The only thing that's missing is his right arm, which he can sense above ground somewhere. Megatron realizes that Prime has been put together again, but he tells, can you say Humpty Dumpty? But he tells Soundwave to use Prime's gun arm to fire upon the Autobots until they are destroyed. So a battle begins, but Bumblebee and Spike get into the main Decepticon control room and destroy the controls that are making Optimus' right arm fire on the Autobots. Prime is whole once more, and the Decepticons' plans are foiled. The episode closes as Bumblebee drives towards the screen with an I Heart New York bumper sticker on his front bumper. I Heart New York. What a fucking joke. Anyway, now for my thoughts on this episode. You gotta love episodes with Devastator in them. I always love watching the Constructicons' merging process. It is the last... As in the last episode, I've noticed Megatron's Decepticon symbol on his chest become gray. I don't know why this is. I have no clue. I know it's an animation flub. I know it's a coloring flub. I know, you know, this is the first season of the cartoon. And stuff like that tends to happen. The sound flubs continue with voices being spoken, but the wrong robot's mouths moving. And that's it for this episode. On to the next one.
I'll stop him! Bumblebee, come back! Optimus Prime, I know you're not evil! I believe in you! You've gotta fight it! Don't give in!
Help me, Bumblebee! Quickly! You did it, little friend. You saved me.
And Prime, the world needs the energy my satellite will deliver. It must go into orbit.
Then our task is clear.
We better get to that launch pad before it's too late.
T minus 30 seconds, and nothing we can do will stop it.
Follow me! This is our one way to get to Cybertron and mastery of the galaxy!
Disconnect the satellite. I can take it into orbit.
Let's go.
No!
We've got to disable that rocket so they can't use it to escape to Cybertron.
But how can we do that without hurting Optimus Prime and Ratchet?
As long as we're still in the outer atmosphere, I just might be able to swing it.
Open up, Skyfire! I'm going outside!
Watch it! That first step's a doozy!
At the speed we're breezing, I better hang low!
Keep those goons off of me! I'm almost done!
Okay, Decepticons!
Time to get down!
A musical sonic boom. Good old jazz.
The fuel tanks! Abandon rockets!
Next up is Attack of the Autobots. To synopsize this episode, we start this episode out with the Decepticons attacking the Autobot base. All of the Decepticons except Starscream and Megatron are at the battle. Megatron uses an invisibility spray on himself and Starscream so they can sneak into the base without Teletran 1 alerting the Autobots. Once inside the base, Megatron and Starscream alter the Autobots' recharging chamber. They place a personality disruptor in it to turn the Autobots evil. All of the Autobots except Bumblebee and a few others have been recharged and turn evil. Megatron's voice comes out of the recharging chamber telling the Autobots to attack. The evil-controlled Autobots attack a military base, and Hound along with Ratchet go after the plans for a solar satellite. But the doctor that created this, Dr. Harding, gets away from them, and Spike and Mobilee get to the Air Force base that Prime and the others are attacking. And Spike explains to the guards that those are Decepticon-controlled Autobots. Bumblebee tries reasoning with Optimus Prime, but it doesn't work. Megatron and Soundwave break into the bunker where the computers are that control the launch of the solar satellite. They take control of the main computer, and nothing can stop the launch now. At Autobot headquarters, Sparkplug has created an attitude adjuster. He and Jazz test it out on Bluestreak, and it works. Hound and Ratchet are chasing Dr. Harding through the city streets. Jazz and Sparkplug get an attitude adjusters on the evil Autobots just in time to save the doctor. They then see Skyfire, who is under Decepticon control, and Hound asks Sparkplug if those things are magnetic, which they are. Hound fires one out of his particle beam gun and saves Skyfire. Optimus Prime tosses the set... We go back to the Air Force base where Optimus Prime is still going off and Bumblebee is still trying to reason with him. Finally, he does, and Optimus comes to his senses. Prime tosses the satellite into space while riding Skyfire, and back to Autobot headquarters. Ratchet, Sparkplug, and Jazz are all arguing on who saved the day, and the episode comes to a close. Now for my thoughts on this episode. I think it was episode 2 of the podcast where I mentioned that it might have been the only time I've seen Optimus split into his three components. I was wrong. It happens in this episode as well. It's a very cool effect. It was kind of cool to see the Autobots go evil. I love the effects they used to make Megatron and Starscream invisible. That was just... it just looked really, really awesome. I found myself just watching this episode for pure enjoyment, and not really looking for flaws and flubs. There have been a lot of situations and plans that the Decepticons have tried to hatch that seem very familiar to me, probably because I watch season 3 and 4 sets more, which take place after the movie. I started a topic thread on the TFWire forums, Transformers Week in Review, about a possible Shattered Glass animated series based on the 2008 BotCon theme. After I got my BotCon set last year, I had read the comic and was very impressed. I think it would be a great idea for a cartoon series. Up next is...
located the missing electro cells.
Good work, Cliff Jumper. Where?
In the same area Mirage patrolled yesterday.
Impossible! I'd have picked up a reading on them for sure!
Maybe you did, but decided to keep it quiet.
That'll do, Cliff Jumper. We don't want bad feelings, just the electro cells. Autobots, transform!
Thank you.
delay, Megatron. The power in these cells would be transferred to the Energon cubes by now and the Autobots destroyed if I were in charge.
But I am in charge, Starscream. And until I ensure that this fail-safe monitor device works, I will not risk the electro cells exploding.
Where is the courage your leadership demands, Megatron? To discover if something works, you must dare to test it.
You fool! You'll destroy us all!
Destroy us all? Oh, brave Megatron! Perhaps it's time the Decepticons look elsewhere for direction, to someone prepared to make command decisions! The transfer worked perfectly!
Perfectly, you say? Look again! You have dared too much, Starscream. You must pay the price for your insolence.
Try and remember which side you're on, Mirage.
Keep your mind on the Decepticons, Cliffjumper.
That's just what I'm doing. Just what I suspected. Mirage is helping the Decepticons.
Did you?
Yes. I took them. Then brought them here so the Insecticons would think the Decepticons had stolen them.
And then?
They began to fight each other. The Insecticons fled and the Decepticons chased them. Now we can get the electro cells, Prime.
Don't trust him, Prime. My cybropolygraph is screaming trap.
Perhaps. But we've got to check it out. Autobots, transform. Let's get the electro cells.
To begin the final episode, today is Traitor. To synopsize this episode, to begin this final episode, we find some scientists have created electro cells to save and conserve energy. But Megatron and the Decepticons break in, stealing the electro cells and destroying the laboratory. The Autobots track the electro cells to a desert area, but Cliffjumper keeps accusing Mirage of being a traitor, hence the title of the episode, Traitor. In the fight, we end up seeing a Autobot-Decepticon battle, and in the fight, Mirage rips off a Decepticon logo and gets a plan into his head to set up the Decepticons by cheating the Insecticons and making them think it was the Decepticons that betrayed them. I hope that makes sense. I don't know if it will or not. I hope it does. During the Decepticon-Insecticon battle, Mirage, even though he is invisible, gets hit, and Bombshell puts a Cerebro Shell controller into the Autobot, so Mirage is now under Insecticon control. Cliffjumper still makes the accusation that Mirage is a traitor and under Bombshell's control, leads the Autobots into a Decepticon trap. After the battle, the Electro Cells are destroyed, and Cliffjumper apologizes to Mirage. They start laughing and joking around, and the episode closes. I really don't have a whole lot of thoughts on this episode. This is one of those episodes, again, where I found myself just watching it through and not taking any notes. I swear I'm not slacking off, but it was just a great episode. Cliffjumper really shows off his temper and attitude in this episode. Well, that's all for this episode of the TFG1 Podcast. Join me next time when I'll be reviewing 5 more episodes from Transformers Generation 1, Season 2. Those being The Immobilizer, The Autobot Run, Atlantis Arise, Day of the Machines, and Enter the Nightbird. Thank you for joining me on the TFG1 Podcast. There are 4 ways to get in touch with me or leave feedback for the podcast. The first is that you can visit the PredaconEmpire.com forums and get all your Transformers discussion topics there. The second is that you can follow me on Twitter. My Twitter name on there is TFG1Podcast. The third is you can visit the www.earth-2.net forums. That's earth-2.net forums. I have a thread over there for the podcast. And the fourth is the email address. Please send us email. That address is tfg1podcast@gmail.com. For now, I'm Michael Blanchard saying, in the immortal words of Optimus Prime, transform and roll out. And thank you for listening. Until next time.
Hey guys, what's going on? This is Mike the Birdman Dodd from This Week in Geek.
and I love friggin' Transformers, so I fully endorse the TFG1 podcast.